has been done. No matter you commit more wholesome this life, whatever in store for you will happen to you regardless.
Even if you're doing more
in this life, I'm right.
Doesn't matter.
Because
this as your consciousness, which experiences desirable or undesirable objects, it's a result of karma. But it depends on other support factors, whether that karma will bring that its result right now or not, including decisive support condition of the accumulations from the past or even from now. So many factors which will also determine.
I understand, but whatever factor that had completed to produce the result,
right,
it will happen to you because that's what in store for you.
Right.
Because it has been done, you cannot change that. That's what she said. Because
right.
It has been done.
I think you have to look at the collective, the rebirth consciousness, the Bhavanga Chitas in between. Nothing can change it at all. But, for example, the other kinds of karma, one can say it depends on many support factors. Can one not contribute?
When we talk about the karma and the vipaka, can we understand more than just karma produce vipaka? Like now, this moment, what is vipaka and what is karma? But even so, one cannot tell that this moment of seeing is the result of what karma, which has been done in what life. As much as we can say that vipaka must be produced by karma. And in order to understand the difference between the vipaka and the karma, which are different types of citta, it is the moment of being aware in order to see the difference between moment of seeing and moment of attachment, or seeing and kusala, or hearing and then akusala. See, it's not just thinking only about that now seeing is produced by karma, but seeing now, okay, it's produced by karma, but it's gone. It's the I who sees. But when there is awareness of a characteristic which is seeing, it's different from the characteristic which clings or being wholesome at that moment. So it's not just talk about it, but it can be object of more understanding.
I tend to focus on thinking about the characteristic of panya. And in the early...
What do you mean by try to think about the characteristic of panya?
Focus on... In
you mean literally or what?
No, sorry. I just mean in terms of discussing with you, I've realized that I tend to focus more on the characteristic of panya. And then yesterday I thought, I don't really understand sati at all. I don't understand it at all, you know. And again, it was something that Azita and I were talking about. And she's, you know, panya is the knowledge of a characteristic as anatta or as impermanent. At the first stage, knowing the difference between nama and rupa is a degree of panya. But in the beginning of the development of satipatthana to develop the knowledge of reality as it is I was going to say does sati arise by itself? I know it arises with dana and sila. Does it arise without panya in the early stages of the development of satipatthana? Or does it always arise with very low level of panya at when we develop the Eightfold Path?
So what is the moment of satipatthana? See?
Well, satipatthana, I mean, I would think the development of sati, but I mean, it's not just developing sati for its own sake.
That is not the moment of satipatthana. It's only thinking,
right.
Theoretical knowledge. So if we know that panya is that which understands correctly, right understanding of a characteristic of reality as a reality.
I thought it would always be there at that same that is, moment.
It's right because sati is so panacetasika. It arises with all wholesome citta. No matter it's dana or sila or samatha or satipatthana. So that can be the understanding of the moment when sati arises. Otherwise, we just keep on talking that sati arises with panya or arises with other citta and cetasika. But the characteristic of sati is being aware of a characteristic. Now, there are many realities, right? Arising and falling away, unknowingly. So many, many. And we can say that seeing is not I, it's just a reality. But that is still thinking. But at the moment of now, beginning to develop, or panya develops, so it knows that this is just that reality which can see. It is not visible object. Yeah,
visible
that
object.
Is the low level, of low degree of panya, but it's there, little by little, until there is more understanding of visible object or seeing itself. Or hardness, or the reality which experiences hardness. So there must be a characteristic of a reality appearing to awareness. Otherwise, it is not satipatthana.
Just thinking.
Yeah, thinking.
Thank you.
I know that we touch many hardness in a day. No awareness or with awareness. Who knows? When awareness arises, it's aware. It's so very natural because it just follows the body doorway, body door's process. Yeah. Exactly the same, like now. We know that hardness appears to the body process and then followed by mind door process instantly. So it has to be just as natural. But there is the understanding of awareness there, which is different from moment without awareness. Little by little. Okay. Because the teachings of Buddha will lead to the detachment from ignorance, from clinging, from all akusala dhamma, and eventually even from kusala dhamma.
Would you like to say it a bit louder, your comment about how you talk about how far seeing is, but to her it seems...
Ajahn always said that, look at seeing, so fascinating. And I said, my seeing is very normal, nothing special. Ajahn Mo had it as a done.
Yes.
But for me, it's just normal seeing. I don't feel anything.
Okay. With our eyes, can there be seeing? So, how can there be seeing when before that there is no seeing? How come to see a visible object appearing while one is fast asleep? No object appears, but then something appears. What do you think about that? Normal, common, or how come?
Because it appears all day, so it's just normal to
because there is no awareness before it appears. No understanding the moment before it appears.
Oh. And hearing I hear all day, I see all day, so I don't feel any special.
No understanding of moment before it appears, no matter it's sound or visible object or smell.
No awareness before it appears.
No awareness of a reality before that appears.
Oh, so it doesn't seem that one doesn't realize it's a new reality of hearing.
It's just like seeing and hearing at the same time and feelings at the same time.
Mm. All blends into each other.
Yes. Well, that's why I feel pretty normal, not anything special. Because I don't have one yet.
But I think in a way,
it is right to say that it's normal, because if one says it's something special, it's like people have an idea that the seeing or the hearing is something different from just how it is anyways. So I think that to say it's something special can be quite misleading.
It depends on what one means by by the term normal. Right. Normal as I,
right,
who sees, yeah, or normal as reality.
That arises and falls, right, anyway, whether, right, one has, mm-hmm, any understanding, yeah, or not. So, mm-hmm, nothing different in the seeing, the only difference is in the understanding.
Not reality, I can guarantee that. Sorry? You can see as I see, not see the correct.
Just teach us to understand at that level or degree. Buddha didn't teach us to have only the understanding of that degree.
Can you sum that up for us all?
It has to begin.
Has to begin, right now.
I mean, there's not going to be a highly developed understanding of the arising and falling away of realities if there isn't a beginning to understand the characteristic of a reality when it arises. So it has to begin and develop.
So if people don't have access to Abhidhamma, can they still, is it possible for them to begin to develop some of this understanding without the higher teachings of the Abhidhamma?
You mean without any understanding at all?
With bits and parts of pieces of maybe some of the teaching that's in the Abhidhamma, but without a direct, you know, some of them maybe have access to information about Abhidhamma. But if not, is it not possible to develop this understanding any other way but direct teaching?
So what is Abhidhamma? Before we talk about something more, we should know.
That Goenka is teaching Vipassana. And he dabbles a little bit in being aware of the moment and developing understanding and developing wisdom, but very clearly with the sense of I, because he doesn't speak of anatta at all.
And with selection.
Selecting an object. Especially in the beginning, the selection of the object.
So is it the practice begins with selecting and thinking oneself can select an object to be aware of, then how will the practice proceed?
Or is that anatta when there is selection like that?
No, anatta.
No way to understand anatta by selection.
When you go to the, you know, the suttas and what the Buddha was actually saying, I mean, it was really basic. It's exactly what Kunsa Chin says, you know. It doesn't go into, you know, there are 62 types of this and this and that and the other. It basically says monk.
And so for me it's very helpful to keep hearing you saying it over and over, going back to the same tasting, touching, hearing, visible object, and helping.
By hearing the explanation, can one really has one's own understanding of reality right now?
Possibly.
Just by hearing?
Well, by considering and reflecting.
Just only considering?
And by experiencing for oneself. And when you're developing the
understanding. And what is the development of experiencing directly?
Sati.
So is sati arising now?
I'd like to think so.
You think about sati, or sati is aware of a characteristic of a reality. Yeah.
So it can be.
By
itself.
More understanding of
the nature of the
characteristic. So, but isn't hearing more and more sankhara khanda, mm-hmm, for panya to arise, mm-hmm, more often and higher degree?
Maybe.
So this is part of the Sankhara Khanda. Reading, listening, hearing more and more and more Sankhara Khanda.
With understanding.
Without expectation for sati to arise.
Oh, this is a good point. With understanding, without expectation.
And Jill, I don't know if you were saying that if one just had the suttas and not the Abhidhamma, that would be enough to get going on. But although it's all in the suttas, but still I think it's there in a way that has only become clear to us because of the understanding of Abhidhamma we do have. Or I won't say this has to be Abhidhamma, but further details and analysis. I think that if we just had the suttas, it wouldn't be particularly clear.
But I think, and I mean, you never know where people are, but I think that, you know, some people who have very, very good, and I think you've talked about this a lot, very good understanding at an intellectual level of the way it all hangs together,
can miss
the point and, you know, because the whole point is just being aware right now, you know. So it may be that you have a good understanding of Abhidhamma, not you, but the one, to use Sarah's term, one has.
So that's important as well as, you know, without a base, intellectual base, I wouldn't.
And without a lot of checking and questioning and considering and coming back.
On the other hand, there's a question of how much we need to know in order to get the necessary intellectual base. Because there's such a thing as knowing more than, I won't say more than is good for you, but more than is necessary or appropriate for one's level of development of understanding.
It's always that you never be good
why
enough.
Why does one ask such question? How much? What does it mean?
Yeah, how do you know?
How much?
How
does
much?
It mean to ask?
Yeah. Is that enough? Never enough.
She's always said you never be good enough.
I mean that Panya has to grow until it can directly experience the arising and falling away and the Four Noble Truths.
The what?
Four Noble Truths. So, yeah, that's the point of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Otherwise, what's the use of reading Abhidhamma, Sutta, or Vinaya? And if one separates Sutta from Abhidhamma, I think that that person doesn't understand what Dhamma is. Because Dhamma is Abhidhamma or Paramattha Dhamma.
No, you never have enough, because Panya hasn't developed to see the Four Noble Truths yet. Until we rich enlightenment,
that's absolutely
true. Buddha's words are true, no matter it's in Vinaya or Suttanta or Abhidhamma.
Yeah.
It does mean that in Sutta he says like this and Abhidhamma is not like that.
Yeah, they all reinforce each other.
It depends on one's understanding while one is reading.
Just to change the subject, yesterday we were talking about patience, and you mentioned that patience is virya, jetsik in fact.
Virya.
Yeah.
Something.
Many words, many degrees, but there are 52 jetasikas. No kanti jetasika.
No kanti.
Yeah.
So as jetasika, kanti is virya.
Depending on other.
Kanti is virya.
I think that even sanya jetasika, there are many names for sanya jetasika. For example, if just only know that this is a cup, that is sanya jetasika. This is a bottle, that is sanya jetasika. And what about sanya, which understands the reality as it is? Can we say just as simple as knowing that this is a cup or that's a bottle? So there are different names for sanya. As there are different names for jetasikas, even kanti, even other words, there must be an aspect of viriya together.
Why does kanti viriya? I mean, the viriya is kind of this energy, whereas patience seems to me is more of a waiting aspect, whereas kanti is energy. It's not will to do, but it's not chanda, but it's an energy.
So we have to understand what kanti is.
Mm. Can you make a comment about that?
Okay. Would you like to have this?
Would I like to have it? I'm really not, I just have one.
Would you like to have that?
I won't sleep tonight.
Yeah. See? Something we like to have it. But sometimes we don't want to have it.
Right.
Why?
Because I'm satisfied.
Sometimes one knows that it's akusla, like attachment to pleasant objects.
Yeah.
But there is moment without wanting to have it.
Right.
Even you'd like to have it.
Okay, but what does that have to do with viriya?
A kind of viriya to be like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Viriya.
But wouldn't viriya be more of an aid to that rather than?
It's like sanya jetasika. When it accompanies panya, it's different from sanya jetasika, which accompanies akusala of different degrees. Mm-hmm. So there are many words for the 52 jetasikas, more than 100.
What about when it's sanya, which means wisdom? Is it an aspect of sanya?
Mm-hmm. There are many words for sanya. If you just want to collect, just look it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This kind of riya, is it?